YouTube, and let's ask God's blessing on this time and on this message today. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I'm so glad to be in this house that love is building. Thank you for my family that is here, those that are watching by livecast and those that will watch by YouTube and listen by various media platforms. I'm ever so grateful to have an ear to speak into and a heart to declare your words. Father, I ask for you to hide me behind the shadow of the cross and help me to articulate this, because I know this message, Father, will be difficult to declare. But I bless you, and I thank you that you're always with me. Father, we honor you, and we lift up that name, the name that's above every name. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Well, I have a message this morning that is going to be difficult to preach because of the severity of this message. You all know me, those that have known this ministry for a while now. I am not a holiday preacher. I do not get holiday messages like all your favorite big box TV preachers do. I am required to say what the Lord speaks to me to say. And so it is not a holiday message. And I understand that where we are and all this stuff. But I would rather speak a now word than to please people and disobey the Father. Amen. And so I'm going to do that this morning. It's going to be raw, and it is going to be very pointed. But I believe that people's lives will be changed. Here's what the Lord spoke to me during my time listening to what he would say. He said, "The funeral for a nation that has rejected me has begun. The nations of the earth are attending her wake. The season of decay has set in, and many will flee her side. Wrapped in the grave clothes of lust, greed, and violence, America lies in state, but few realize. Her stench I can hardly bear. You wave your flags of old glory, but you refuse to embrace my glory, my presence that brought your armies and nation victory. You are poisoned by deception, and you're confused by your success. You think, I sit on a hill, my light shines so bright, but it was I who gave you the light for all the world to see. You were merely a reflection, an amber, a spark of who I am. Listen carefully, my righteous church. Soon you will see my glory revealed. Soon you will experience my presence without measure. And I will add to my church. My body will grow. This growth will be for a quick work, and a quick harvest will be revealed to my servants who are willing to work in my fields." It's a hard word because it speaks of a nation that we live in and that we love. Understanding where we are, lying in state because of the moral decay that is taking place around us and literally within us. And for those of you like me who love this country, it is a very hard pill to swallow. But the Bible declares that if a nation rejects God and turns from his ways, then they would be turned into hell, and that wickedness would prevail within them and within the regions of their country. And that is where America is. And as I was preparing, the Lord gave me the title of this message, and it is called America, Rest in Peace. America, Rest in Peace. And if you can't spell it, just put R-I-P. America, Rest in Peace. Again, I love everybody, and I'm so grateful that we get to celebrate here at this church on Sunday before Thanksgiving, that we get to hang out together and partake of a meal and laugh and just talk about life and the good things that we have been given. But this message must be first preached and it must be declared in the rawness in which it was given to me. Go to Isaiah chapter 24. Yes, there is another book besides Jeremiah. In fact, Isaiah is not too far from Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 24. And if you are a snowflake generation type of person, you may want to go in your panic room and strap on your little helmet so you don't hurt your head. But this is going to be a word that I believe will leave an indelible mark. Isaiah chapter 24. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. I want to start out by saying that there is a payday someday. And judgment delayed is never judgment denied. We live in a generation and a society and a mindset and a culture that we feel that if we get away with something for a few days, we will get away with it forever. And how many of y'all know that is not true, that someday they're going to catch up with you? Someday your sins will be found out. Someday the light of the gospel of God, his righteousness and holiness, will shine upon the sickness and the sin of humanity. And I believe we're watching that take place in our country. We're seeing the light of God's righteousness pierce into the dark crevices of every aspect and every level and institution that this country and the world has. And it's because he is a just God and he wants all men to repent, and that he will find himself justified when he allows judgment to come to this earth in a greater manner. So Isaiah chapter 24 begins with a future judgment, but I believe prophetically it deals with the hour that we're living in. And I will connect these dots for you as the Lord showed me. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh a waste and churneth upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. There is no doubt in my sanctified mind that we're living in the day where everything is being turned upside down. Everything that used to seem normal on the top of the surface is now being flipped over to where we're no longer seeing fruit, but the roots of society. And the roots of society are evil, and they're twisted around the rock of wrongdoing and evil. And so we said there was going to be that churning of the things upside down, a void that would take place within the country and in the world. And I believe that as we turn our televisions on and we look at the pages of our internet and we scour through and research the news that is before us, it is becoming almost unbearable to see the upside down that we're living in. Verse 2. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. I believe the exposure that is here in America is going to not creep, but it's going to gallop into the very houses of God, and you are going to see a wave of exposure to the men and women of God who stand behind pulpits. Many will be known and the many will be unknown, but there is coming an exposure as the people, so the priesthood. And I don't believe that the church is ready for what's about to take place. I don't believe they're ready for the exposure. I do not believe that they will even comprehend and side with reality and truth. They will say, make it all go away and say it isn't so. But I'm telling you, as we enter into these final days, we will see the exposure in the house of God. I don't look forward and I don't desire it. I have no glee when I hear of anybody being exposed. But I say this and I declare this today, that God will be glorified and he will be justified when he shines the light upon the wickedness of the church, because he has warned them privately. It is the character of God. Many people don't understand the prophetic, but it is the character of God to deal with a man or a woman privately first, to send counselors and messengers and people to warn them of their sin. Until they totally refuse and reject that process of justice, then God says, I will bring you to the public court of opinion and I will publicly deal with you. That is why I do not allow people to come into this congregation, whether it is a special service or visitation, to speak over anybody in this house without first speaking to me first. Because too many people have been led astray by charlatans and heretics and harlots of the gospel. And I refuse to see your life put on edge and shipwrecked over somebody who is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Back to verse 2, if you will. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, and as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid and with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. In other words, God says the emptying and the upside down process is going to take place for everybody on the face of the earth. That I am going to deal with everybody who was living in sin, those that are living in unrighteousness, no matter how much they are padded with finances and all the luxuries of life. He will go into the deep crevices of our world and our planet, and he will deal with the sin. And it is no wonder this is happening right before your very eyes. It is no wonder that we're watching these exposés, if you will, these exposures on a constant daily basis. It's almost like going to the internet and waiting to see what big name is going to come up. It is because God is about to unleash tremendous judgment upon this nation and the world. So no one escapes this judgment that is taking place. If you're living in unrighteousness, I would be fearful to fall in the hands of a living God. If you are playing games today in the house of God, standing behind the pulpit looking like an angel but living like a devil, I would be fearful about falling into the hands of an angry God. If I were you, preacher, priest, or person of the cloth, if you will, that is using of the table of God, taking of the bread of heaven, and using your life in an unrighteous way, I would be fearful to fall into the hands of a living God. The day is upon us when conviction is going to come through the church like a tsunami. We don't know what conviction is because we live any old way we want to in the house of God. We use our money and our tithe and our power to persuade men that stand behind the pulpits, and we intimidate them by wanting to remove them from position or to remove their benefits of life. But I'm telling you, that day is ending. You must remember Ananias and Sapphira. There's coming a day when the glory of God will saturate houses, that people that have the sin that they brought in, to be dealt with them immediately, because God is a loving God. Not that he wants to expose any man or any woman. He loves everybody the same when it comes to the blood of the Lamb. But he loves us enough not to leave us like we are. Oh, help! Somebody needs to help me today. We're living in the day of exposure. And I would be very concerned about my pet sin. I'm not talking about the missing of the mark and the mistakes that we all make and the things that we do that we don't mean to do. I'm talking about the blatant habits that we have that are sin. You say, what is sin? Sin is anything that violates your conscience and violates the holy writ of God. That is sin. Is anybody still here today? I told you this morning this message will not be a holiday message, but it will bring somebody, I hope, to the cross of Calvary and a closer relationship. Verse 3, The land shall be utterly empty and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken his word. The word there for spoiled, it means to be plundered. It is going to be emptied and it's going to be plundered. Right now we're watching the very moral treasures of our nation being plundered right before our very eyes. We're watching the very innocency of our country being plundered before our very eyes. We're watching the inheritance of what we're going to give to our children and our children's children. We are being robbed and we're watching that treasure being taken from us as I speak. He said there's coming the day when the land will be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, and there will come a decay. And I want you to know something, those that are watching me around the world, it is not just America, it is every place that rejects God, it is every country that has turned its back upon the Savior and the righteousness of God and calls evil good and good evil. I'm reminding you, Australia, that God will deal with you as he's dealing with America for voting in gay marriage into your constitution or into your nation. Leviticus says that it is the only sin that God would spew the inhabitants out of the land for. And it's the only sin that God destroyed entire cities for. And we think that we're able to get away with it here in this country and other countries of the world. But I want you to know the boomerang of God will come back to this nation because we've taught other nations how to sin. And so I wouldn't act so high and mighty if your country was not mentioned from this pulpit or you don't see it in Scripture. The reality is that the entire world stands in judgment when it is at opposition with God's word. And so the land shall be utterly destroyed or utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken the word. The word spoken there means he has commanded, but it also means he has warned. And the depth of the word means that he has threatened. And I'm telling you, from pulpits all across America and around the world, the prophets of God and the watchmen of God have been standing up and speaking the word of the Lord, which is a command, it is a warning, and it is a threat from heaven that if we don't turn towards him, he will turn away from us. And how cold a day that will be when the warmth of his face no longer shines upon a people. We're watching it take place here in America. Gross darkness is filling this country. Gross darkness is scattering around as storm clouds upon us. But it seems as though nobody really cares or gives a rip. Verse 4. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The word languish there is talks about the crying out and the mourning, the crying out for the judgment that has taken place. And I believe mourning is taking place in America as we look across the landscape and we see the unrighteousness that takes place. The very earth, the very nation begins to cry out and say, man, I've had enough of this. But the earth, read it again with me. It says, the earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. There is a mourning that is taking place for the sins of our country. And we act as though everything is fine. I can promise you, without even trying to prophesy, because it's too obvious, that you can turn on Christian television right now, and they won't talk about judgment in America. They won't talk about sin in the camp. They won't talk about the need of a Savior. They won't talk about righteousness and holiness. They'll talk about money and good things and good life and holiday cheer. And they won't get to the point and the principle of why God is going to deal with us and is dealing with us. We are living in a sick nation today. We're living in a nation that's been turned upside down. We're living in a nation where we all we see is the very root of our evilness, the very root of what is taking place inside the heart of humanity. We're in a sin sick situation here in America. And I don't know how much longer God can tolerate and he can handle and hang on to these things that are going on around us. I just don't understand it. I questioned the Father sometimes. I say, God, this is insanity. But I understand your word that it will be gross darkness upon the earth. It will continue to be in such a manner. But God, it's amazing that I'm living this prophetic hour and I'm seeing this thing. I told Lynn Leons during our interview, I was emotional because of everything I'm witnessing as I research and dive into it. That is my job, and I have no complaints of it. But the reality is this, there's so much that's going out there that most Americans do not understand, especially within the church. And they act as though we're headed into this holiday world of greatness, and America's going to be great again, when the reality is completely opposite of what your favorite preacher tells you. Just the other day, I read a report where a 19-year-old girl out of California sold her virginity to a businessman in the Middle East for $2.5 million. No, most American Christians sitting in a church today have no reality or could not even fathom the depth of the sickness and sin of sexuality and lust in America, but it is still true today. A California girl, 19 years old. And did you know that there is a website that allows for these attracted perverts to look for this prey? It's a reality today, America, but you say it's going to be great again. $2.5 million. What price does it take for the losing of your soul to gain all the world? I wonder what the price of some people today for their soul. I wonder what that price is today. I read the report and I wanted to just fall upon my face and say, my God, what have we done in our country that we now have this type of auctioning off of the very purity and innocency that you have given to a person? No greater innocency does a man or a woman have than that gift that has been set aside for a husband or for a wife. It is the deepest violation that we could ever give. And it's the greatest gift that we could ever offer. But can you imagine this is taking place in America today? But oh no, down the road we're going to sing, bringing in the sheaves and bringing in the sheaves, and make the music a little louder, preacher, because I can't stand to hear you talk this. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day when judgment comes that no man, no woman could stand before God and shake their fists and say, how dare you do this to my country? How dare you do this? When the Father will replay not the words of men, but the warnings from the Word, and will declare and decree his righteousness. $2.5 million to give her soul up to a demonized Middle Eastern man. And not just her, but there's multiplied thousands of others. And I would venture to say even millions who tried to get the winning spot, if you call it winning. And I look at this and I say, where is the crime? Where is the law enforcement? Where is the president? Where is the evangelical council? Where is somebody that stands up and says, that is slavery? Somebody stand up and say, that is a sex crime. You can't do that in America. You can't allow this to take place. I don't care about your freedoms. I care about the moral reality of a soul, of a nation that is damned and doomed because of our unrighteousness. And you want to make America great again. And you wonder why I preach like I do. And you wonder why I say things that I say. I don't say them to castigate people or to harm people or to lift one above another. I say them because this is the righteousness of God. And we have turned our back on God and nobody's saying anything about it. You're more worried about an NFL player taking the knee, and I understand it, and I got the protest. But there's more to that. All that is a distraction. And it all boils down to the multiplied hidden sins of our sports and entertainment, which I don't have time to go over. Where's the outcry? I'm asking you today.
Tell me who preaches this from the big box churches. Tell me somebody who's raising up advocacy and raising up some type of ability to stop this madness. What is the difference between this and the old days of slavery? Being bought for a price? We sold our soul in America for money. We don't care about the house of God because we want money. We have a lust for money. We have a lust for promotion and proceeds. Oh, I wish I could find some people who loved God again and loved the cross of Calvary and righteousness who would stand up and say something and say that we have had enough of this in our country. It says it languisheth. The word languish there in the Hebrew means this. It means to droop. It means to be weak. And it means to be exhausted. I'm telling you, this country is exhausted. We're exhausted from our sin. Research like I do and you'll be exhausted. Realize instead of putting your head somewhere where the sun don't shine and put your head in reality and look out your window, you will be exhausted by what is taking place in this country. It's happening in our political scene, and it's exploding like popcorn, and I told you it'll be more and more, and you're going to see higher and larger people fall and be exposed. I really wonder if they'll fall. But they will be exposed because the earth is weakened by our sin, and it is exhausted. Romans chapter 8 says there's going to come a time when the earth will groan, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Really, this waiting for the redemption of the world. It's amazing to me that the tree outside is more smarter than a Christian sitting in a pew. It amazes me that animals in the animal kingdom have more discernment and they're more alert about the seasons that they're in and the time frame than a human being who's superior. Wink, wink. Animals know when an earthquake is about to take place, and animals know when a tsunami is coming, and they run for higher ground and for safety. Yet a Christian can be told the very warnings and the very threatenings and the commands of God, and they will look at you as a calf staring at a new gate and don't know what to do and say, well, I'm not sure if I really believe this man. When outside your windows, all of these things are coming to pass, but you refuse to embrace them. Oh, I'm not talking to this church. I'm talking to those that are listening to me in various platforms and your friends and your family who are now drinking the very magical spell of holiday wine and cheer. The sad thing is they drink it all year long. It says to be exhausted. He said there's coming a time when the earth will be exhausted. I believe that we're in the beginning stages where the earth is saying, I've had enough of this. I understand prophetically where Isaiah 24 takes us to, but I'm telling you, in the very understanding of where we are today, we are exhausted. How much more can this nation and world take? It will be more, but it's going to fall in. Verse 5, watch this. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. I said, the earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. The word defiled means pollution. It is polluted. We're living in an hour where the pollution in the mind of Christians and the mind of humanity, they are more concerned about the globe and the sun and the atmosphere and this and that and the environment in which we live in. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have concern or custodial righteousness, but our mind should not be upon the things that we can't necessarily control. Our mind should not be on the pollution of man. Our mind should be on the pollution of humanity within his heart. That's where we are today. It is not the pollution outside. It is the humanity. The heart of the human problem is the human heart. The heart of the human problem is the human heart. It is our heart that is wrong. It is wicked. It is constantly looking for ways and devices and schemes to show forth the abilities to get away with one more sin. Go a little farther. Go a little deeper. Go a little higher. Go a little longer. Go a little wider. Whatever it takes to get mine and feel good. I'm going to push in and press in till I get it all. We're polluted in this nation. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof because they have transgressed the laws. We're a nation of rebellion. Whether they're in the White House or whether they're in a state house, whether they're wearing a suit or they're walking around in sandals, we are a people that breaks covenant and we break laws and we break agreements. We are a people that breaks contracts instantly. It amazes me that people will come in and be a part of a congregation, say and give their salute and their allegiance, and then turn around and walk out and never say another word to you because we break covenant too easy in America. He said the earth, it was exhausted. The earth was exhausted. You wonder why we're having volcanoes and earthquakes and the craziness of our universe, and we're seeing objects fall out of the sky and we can't describe them. We have airplanes that are flying after UFOs, which is nothing more than an unidentified flying object, and we don't understand, and we can't even of our best technology catch up with it. These realities are not part of Star Trek or Star Wars. These are part of the Word of God that He said perilous times would take place in the last days and men's hearts would fail them because of fear. And you ain't seen anything yet. You wait till the Nephilim and the walking dead begin to walk among you and you can't kill them with natural ability. You better know about the blood of Jesus. You better know about the Word of God. You better know about demonology. And your demonology is not found in some sci-fi magazine or some sci-fi website. Your power is found in this Bible right here. Don't you be calling Dr. Spock or Captain Kirk. You better call on Jesus Christ of Nazareth in these last days. Woo! Say, Spock may be gone, but I'm sure there's somebody like him. Verse 5, look at this with me. The earth also is defiled on the inhabitants thereof because they have transgressed, for they transgressed the laws, they changed the ordinance, they broken the everlasting covenant. In other words, they said, I'm going to do whatever I darn please to do, and you can't do nothing about it. I'm going to do whatever I want to do because I'm an American. I got the rights and I've got Constitution. I can do whatever I want to do. Yeah, you can do what you want to do, but someday there's a payday for everything that you and I did opposite of that word. I don't have time to go into it, but it used to be a day when we would teach about the Bema seat of Christ. We used to teach about the judgment seat of Christ, that He would judge the believers. Y'all remember that back in your day of going to church? We don't preach it no more because now we don't believe in judgment. But there's coming a judgment for everybody someday. There's coming a judgment for what we do in this body. There's coming a judgment for what we do with this word. There's coming a judgment for how I preach and teach. There is coming a judgment someday for the righteous. I think I would try holiness. I think I'd put holiness in my Christian portfolio before the big sell-off. When we stand before the Lord. He said it's polluted. The environment is polluted. We're living in a country, in a world where pollution of the humankind, of the human heart is everywhere. Right now in the nation of France, they are working on changing the law for sexual consent to 13 years old. Because of a trial that just took place where a man raped an 11-year-old and he was acquitted. So they figured in order to fix the law, we'll just make it 13 so we got some type of Is anybody here with me? We've got some type of number to go by. Let's just pick a number. Let's say 13. Well, when is it going to be 12? And then when is it going to be 11? And then when is it going to be any age? Pollution of humanity is in the world today. 13 years old. And apparently a trial by his own peers could not determine if 11-year-old girl had consensual sex and said, yeah, let's go ahead at 11. You see? But this is the pollution that I'm talking about. This is the exact pollution of the heart of humanity taking place right before our eyes. And I know Americans have a great ability to hide under the covers and to go into the rocks and holes and hide in the tunnels. But honey, you got to get out today and you got to stand up and say enough is enough. And you got to tell your family, listen, we're going to hell in a handbasket. And this tank, this Titanic is sinking. This is not an armored tank. We're not going to survive these blows. But I know the answer to what I'm saying today. The only solution that will move you off of your seat today will be when your money has been taken from you. Because the plight of an 11-year-old girl doesn't bother us. The plight of a 19-year-old who gave the most precious gift she could give to her husband beside her very self was given away and sold to the highest bidder. It doesn't move us in our country today anymore. No, you wouldn't want me to be president of the United States. I wouldn't be liked very much because I would tell the truth and I would stop and I would say, this is enough. Polluted. Pollution taking a place all across the world. I mentioned Australia and I mentioned France. Just the other day, a report came out that the Pentagon will allow sex change operations to take place for those that are confused about their gender in our military. May I ask you, did not this president say no to that? I ask you again, who is running this country? Either this has been the biggest lie and deception, and I know that it has been, and it is a con game. Or somebody else is running this nation and somebody is just giving lip service to the Christian community. Where's the outrage? I ask again, where are you, evangelical council, those that are hanging on to the bootstraps of this administration as dangling as a reward or tassel upon a graduation gown? Where are you today to stand up in your pulpits and say, I had enough, I cannot be connected to this Babylonian debauchery? No, we're not mad yet in America. We're not mad because it isn't your child. We're not mad today because it isn't your grandchild. We're not mad today because you still got access to your ATM. And I've got access to my account. But I'm telling you, the earth is exhausted. The earth is exhausted with this sin in our country. And this sin that circumnavigates the world. The Church of England just recently reported, and they said this, that a child has the right to dress the way that they want to, whether it is a cape or a crown, boy or girl, it doesn't make a difference. Let them be what they want to be. That is why England's in trouble, just like America. The Church of England. In all the pomp and circumstance, says that it is a good thing, it is a right thing to keep children from being bullied, to allow them to wear any clothes that they desire. I'm just reading to you reality, and I'm telling you prophetically why God will judge the nations of the earth. That is why when we go to war, we will not win.
Is anybody still my friend? I say that and people write me and say, I'm still your friend. And that encouraged me. I have people write me and say, every time you say that, I'm saying, amen, amen. I wish they could hear you. Some don't think that you guys applaud and rejoice in some of these things, but I don't know too many churches that would tolerate me, especially on Thanksgiving meal day, and I can smell it from over here. Let me take a break from this insanity and remind you, remember when we were in the shoebox over there and we had the serving table right here? You don't know how many times I was tempted to have you pray and close your eyes while I tasted to see how good the Lord was. But unfortunately, I can't go back there. Y'all know I left the pulpit. Verse 6, let me hit you while you're laughing. Verse 6, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. The curse devoured the earth. We are cursed with a curse. We're living in a curse. We're living in a curse when we say that good is evil and evil is good. We're living in a curse when we turn everything upside down, when we say things about Jesus and we say that he was a homosexual and we say that the apostle Paul was a homosexual and we say that the word was not really written as it should have been and that there is no truth and proof of a virgin birth and the glorious resurrection. I'm only quoting modern theologians today. We're cursed with a curse. When we say that it's okay for a man to love a man as a woman and a man should be and vice versa, we're cursed with a curse. We're cursed with a curse when we don't tolerate truth anymore. We'd rather hear fuzzy, happy days type of preaching. I find this very funny because the word cursed there in the Hebrew, you ready for this? It's pronounced Allah. So you can take that and study it yourself. And you can add it to my message from last week. Curse with a curse. Devour the earth that they dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. Yes, this speaks prophetically of a coming day of judgment, but I want to bring it to your very now and to this right day moment. There are very few men left in the church. I just want to throw this jacket off and run around the building. Go ahead, she said. I'm trying to stay dignified for the turkey. Very few men left. What are we talking about with men? We're not just talking about men as in number. We're talking men as in quality. That it's hard to find men that would stand up and say, you ain't doing that, Jack. Because we have been cut down to size in our country. We've been told not to flex the muscle. We've been told not to be Mr. Muscle Man and masculine and all these different things. And we've been sawed down and cut down and grinded down by the spirit of Jezebel. You can call it feminism, you can call it what you want, but it's a spirit of Jezebel that does not want a man to be a man and stand up and be a man. Well, I'm telling you, I'm a man and I will always be a man. I'll be a man in this house and I'll be a man in my home and I'll be a man outside because there are very few men that are left. It's a sad thing to see a woman take a position for a man, but I thank God that women do. I thank God for the spirit of Deborah that is in the house today. The spirit of Deborah because they couldn't find no man to stand up and take the sword and go out and do battle. I really wonder what has happened to men today. I really wonder what has happened to the true man that would stand up and say, I'm not going to tolerate this. I understand you can't take a pitchfork. Well, you probably could and march up to Washington. But you can get on your knees and cry like a man and beg God and cry out and say, God, have mercy upon our sin-soaked nation.
God, help me to mentor a young child. Maybe your children are already grown. Find some child and mentor them. And pray and target and do as I said and do as I do. When I see a school bus go by, I plead the blood of Jesus over that bus. Who knows what hell they'll enter into when they open the door to get home to. A lot of them might have been like me that had a key around their neck. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Walked home and there wasn't nobody there. Days were different then. But today I wouldn't let a child get out of my sight to the best of my ability. That's the world we're living in. And I'm not an alarmist. I'm not full of paranoia. I'm a person that is rooted and grounded in faith and peace and love and truth. But I'm telling you, you read it by the pages, the craziness that's taking place in our country. Very few men are left. Very few men that would stand up for the love of God and the love of country and the love of their community. Somebody says, well, I love to do ministry. Why don't you start a ministry with children, with young people? It don't have to be on boots on the ground right away. It can be in prayer. That is why we're going to open up this daycare. That is why we're going to have a Christian academy, so that we can have people come into this community to be protected. Because the crazies are not just in public schools. They're in private schools too. He said, we're cursed. We've been devoured. We've been placed in a position of desolation because of our sickness, of our sin. Just the other day, a man in Tennessee who was a part of the military, I believe he was a medic. But he was in Tennessee, and he raped his 9-month-old daughter. And then he took a cord and he strung her neck and he killed her. The conscience of America has been shot out. 9 months old. His own flesh and blood. We are Babylon. We are living in a pagan world. We are living in a world of insanity. America, rest in peace. It will never be great again when we not only kill the babies we can't see, we murder the babies we can. And your preacher won't say anything about it. Your politician won't say anything about it. Nobody will stand up and be a man today and say, there is enough of this. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. I'm thankful. But I'm exhausted when I look at this and I see this craziness and I see the word of the Lord and I see the reality of a man that be willing to do such demonic things. In fact, he's not a man, he's a monster. And when I worked in the prison system, there was justice for dudes like that. And anybody knows what I'm talking about, you can just go ahead and wink. How do you sit there, those that are watching today with your family, how do they sit there and they still think we're doing okay? Because we look at an imaginary stock market. We look at numbers that were inflated, no matter if they were at 16, 17, or 18,000, or 22, 23,000. They're inflated. And I don't have time to go over it, but the bond market is in trouble, and that is the true market to keep your eye on. But it's okay. We're at the holidays. But I ask you, as I read this about this demonized man, this devil incarnate, if you will, what type of crisis is going to affect us? When will these type of reports really affect us in our world? When will we get serious and cry out for these names upon the cross and say, God, have mercy?
or reach out to our neighbors. Verse 7. Then the new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, and all the merry hearteth do sigh. I don't have time to read the rest, but 7, 8, and 9. Here's the title for it. The party's over. The party's over in America. Let me tell you why the NFL has lost its taste and its savior. It isn't because of the protest. It's because of the sin that's been going on for multiplied years of drug addiction, murder, rape, spouse abuse, aggravated battery, you name it. And that goes for every other sports and entertainment out there. Your party's over.
Well, I just want to hold on to a little bit of the world. The party's over. Remember Lot's wife and don't look back.
I'm telling you, you may not believe it, but I live a life to where I could care less about those things. I don't hold on to the world because I know that it is very fragile and my life is but a vapor. And I only have one moment and one opportunity to do something great for God, and that time is now, and I won't waste another day or another moment. I will declare the word of the Lord, and I will hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," and so will you. Verse 10, can you handle me a little longer? Coleslaw should still be all right back there. Tea should be getting nice and sweet now. Verse 10. The city of confusion is broken down and every house is shut up that there may no man come in. Now let me explain it to you about the city of confusion. It is talking about Babylon. America is Babylon. America's mystery Babylon, daughter Babylon. She's Babylon, Babylon, Babylon. And there is no doubt we're living in the very city limits of Babylon. But this city of confusion will be broken down. This system of government and finances and so-called morality cannot go on very much longer. I don't know if it's days, weeks, months, or years, but it is not longer. You can't do what we're doing in this nation and think everything is fine. Now, I find this amazing if you'll just give me a few more minutes to preach. Now that I've upset your stomach and you probably don't want to eat, maybe that's a good thing. But the city of confusion, the translation should be chaos. The city of chaos, or the nation of chaos, which is Babylon. But if you study the word just a little deeper, it takes you to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. In the time of creation, what was there? There was chaos. There was gross darkness that covered the earth. So what he's saying to us is that the city of Babylon, or the nation of Babylon, there'll be gross darkness that covers her. And there is no doubt in my sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled mind that that is speaking of America and any other place in this region that has turned its back on God. Confusion. Who's running the country? You hear one decoration being made and a picture of somebody, the president, signing some decorations and all these different things. Then you hear reports that are counter to what it was being said. I wonder who's running the nation. I told you at the beginning of the year the spirit of Jezebel was on this country and somebody laughed at me. And the reality is we got the same no matter who's standing in position because of our sin. And it's only going to get worse. So it is Babylon, this city of confusion. Welcome to the United States of confusion. We're confused. We're confused all around. We're confused where our military had to literally stand up and make a statement to the nation and the world that we will not obey a nuclear order from this president if it's wrong. I've never heard such words come from our military powers. Who's running the country? I'm telling you, America, rest in peace. Did I tell you I loved you, by the way? Because some of y'all got that look, man. You just ready to. Verse 11.
There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. What's he talking about? He said the party's over. Happy hour has become hell hour. And to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to the day. No, not for the destruction of mankind and the losing of soul and life. But I'm looking for the day when the party is finally over in America, when people finally become sober and they say, oh my God, I've made a mistake. And I fully recognize and realize that my preaching and other preaching like me will not do it alone. But we'll preach and continue to warn as God gives us the opportunity. Verse 12. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. Again, he's talking about the cities. The place of confusion is smitten. It's left in destruction. It's left in confusion because of the sin of our country, because of the unrighteousness that is upon us. And people say, why, God? Why is this happening? Why are you letting this take place? I thought he was a good God. He is a good God. But he cannot let sin be unanswered. And somebody will say, well, why can't we just wait until it's all over and people die and they can have judgment then? Because God is using judgment as righteousness. He's using it to shake us so we would run to him and say, God, have mercy. Most Americans don't know this report that I'm going to read to you, but it needs to be read to you. It needs to be understood. Because when people say, well, how did this take place and why did this take place? And I thought God was such a good God and all these different aspects of it, you can understand why God is going to deal with our country. Here in America, I mentioned to you about this 19-year-old girl who sold her virginity for $2.5 million to some demon, one demon to another. But in America, we have an epidemic with our millennials that are in college today and the mismanagement of money that takes place among many of them because they're not taught the basics of how to live under moral obligations of righteousness and do the right thing. If you know what I'm talking about, just nod and wink at me. They may be smarter in IT, but they're dumber with common sense. And to all my millennials, I love you. Elder says, amen. I was talking about some other group. Elder says, I'm forever young, buddy. And she is, isn't she? But right now there's a website and it's been going on for a long while now. But I had to bring it up because of a recent report about it. But there is an online subscription site, if you will, a place where you can go find a sugar daddy or sugar mama to help pay off your college loan. Is anybody here today? I'm not talking about some guy with some money that cares about your little stupid college class. We're talking about someone who cares about everything in your anatomy. And some person who is so void of morality because nobody put the gospel in that heart, or they did and they ran from it. But now this website boasts that there are several million college people that are out there looking for a sugar mama or a sugar daddy that they would offer themselves up to pay that bill. Meanwhile, they're driving around in fancy cars they can't afford, with phone bills they can't afford, with all kinds of luxury items they don't deserve. Do you know some of the stuff that you go into debt for and I go into debt for, we really don't deserve. We just heap it on ourselves because we're lustful.
I might as well just stay. I got you all mad. I might as well kick this thing out real good, and then we're going to eat and hug. Can we do that?
I told you about buying all these kinds of things and going into debt. I just read a report that the majority of the people who were in debt last year for Christmas will be in debt this year because of last year. Buy them a rock. Go down to the local creek and get a rock and wrap it up and say, I'll just hold on to this and remember me. Every time you see it, know I'm praying for you.
Y'all ain't here with me.
Because folk are going to go into debt. You watch, folk are going to go into debt again this holiday season. They're going to drink the poison.
Listen to this now. I wish this were funny.
But they're doing this to pay off their debt. They're doing it to pay their monthly bills. I mean, where's law? Where's law and order? I thought we had a president of law and order. Where's law and order? Shut this down.
Well, there's one of them said, well, I don't offer my body for sex. I don't do that. But I did get about $90,000 from my school loans by hooking up.
Oh, I'm sure nothing happened.
Oh, I almost said something that would make your hair curl, and I ain't going to do it.
This takes GoFundMe to another level.
You figure the rest out.
It's insanity. It's madness. It is absolute chaos. And we're cursed with a curse. I don't have time to read this thing. Go look it up. Go look up about the millennials selling themselves out and denying they're doing it for sex. And these sugar daddies, and the average salary of one of these sugar daddies and sugar mamas is $250,000. And they pay an $80 subscription a month to find all these whores' names.
Yeah, that's what I called them. Because that's all you are if you got to sell something. I'm still paying on my college loan, and I ain't joining no club. I'll go out and get a second job if I have to. Welcome to Walmart.
No, man, we've lost it. We've lost it. This country's gone. America, rest in peace, because we are a microwave generation. I don't want to work hard. I want to work 20 and get paid for 60. I want to be the CEO, and you don't even know where the bathroom is at. I won't name the person because you'll know who it is, and then you'll follow the trail. But there was a person that I know who worked with the millennial, and I'm not making fun on young people. Clay knows me, man. I love Clay. He's got his house at, what, 23?
I ain't never been over there yet, but when he cleans up, he said it last time.
Hey, there's a lot of successful young men. I'm not beating up everybody, but you know what I'm talking about, because some of y'all got grandkids. Some of y'all still helping out your own kids. I understand that. I understand family, love, and connection, and blah. But the reality is this. This person, man, I can't tell you, but this person, they said to them, they said, look, I want you to go down there and make a photocopy of a driver's license. Okay. Goes down to the copier machine and tries to stick it in the slot where the feeder is. Listen to me. All she had to do was scan it. Come back upstairs to the place she was at and told the boss, I can't get it in the slot. The scanner won't work. Is anybody here? And that's our future. Had a young man tell, I was told by somebody else that a young man was told, I want you to go to the filing cabinet. For 5 minutes, he's shaking the filing cabinet because he didn't know there's a little springy button there.
Some of y'all don't know either way you're looking at me.
That's why I couldn't open mine. Listen, I'm making light to bring this plane down because this thing's been heavy loaded. We've been in a cargo plane, man, full of junk inside of it, and I got it. But the reality is we're selling our bodies because we won't work. We don't want to work, and the system is broken, and we promise these children just go to college, have your brains turn into mushrooms, Lose your morality and your virginity and you'll get a six-figure job. No, you won't. I love you. This is reality today, boy. I'm feeling in the holiday mood. I'm telling you right now, I feel good. So why, God? Why is destruction coming to America? Because of the things I just told you. Right now, I could tell you the website, but I ain't. You can go in there and take your selfies in your whitey-tighties, in your Victoria's Secrets, that ain't no secret, and have some salivating pervert burning up the keyboard trying to get you in bed. And you get some money. It's insanity. And we wonder why we have pedophilia in our schools. It is happening more and more and more and more and more. It is sickening. The earth is exhausted. Our teachers have become the predators of our community. Not every one of them, so don't write me. I don't want to hear it. But the reality is it's happening all the time. America, rest in peace. Your funeral has begun. So, well, I don't like that. Well, why don't you do something about it? Let me close with this. Verse 13. When thus shall it be in the midst of the land among the people, they shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. He's talking about the remnant. There's a shaking coming. Verse 14. They shall lift up their voice and they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. He's talking about the remnant. We're going to be in the position of rejoicing while we watch this nation catch on fire. Not rejoicing because of the fire, rejoicing of our Father who kept us from the fire. There is a big difference. Verse 17 through 23, I want you to read that for yourself. Verse 22, I will finish here. They shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit and shall be shut up in the prison. After many days shall they be visited. Talking about the end times in the last days. And when you read from 17 to 23, it'll talk about the increasing judgment, how that man will try to run from problems and then fall into a pit. He'll try to run from the pit and then be destroyed another way. There will be no way of escape for this nation or the nations of the world for our sin. You say, Pastor, what is the answer for us that are remnant? The answer for you and I is the shelter in Christ. The answer for you and I is to live a holy life of righteousness, not based on what you and I think it is, based on what the Word of God says it is. Heavenly Father, I've delivered your message to your people today. I ask that you would take this rock, this stone, and you would send it to the nations of the world, that it would hit the right heart at the right time, at the right place, to reverberate with truth, repentance, and that, Father, that there would be men that would stand up today, that there would be women that would stand up today for righteousness. Father, your word will prevail, and your word will come to pass. America, rest in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. I'll see you Wednesday. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I appreciate you.